John chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 35 through 42 tonight. John chapter 1, verse 35 through 42. As Pastor said, that this month we're looking at soul winning evangelism, winning the lost. Tonight I want to start out with I begin to think this week what to preach on tonight. I begin to think of stories I've heard of people in the passage that's won a lot of souls to Christ. But I thought tonight we'd just start here in the book of John and look at a man named of Andrew. If you're able to stand, I invite you to stand to read God's word tonight. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them follow, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do love you. And as always, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in thy house tonight. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to have before us in our laps, in our hands, the very word of God. Lord, we thank you to be in a country where we're able to assemble tonight and without fear. And Lord, we thank you for all the folks out tonight. Lord, I pray now you'd speak to our hearts and accomplish your will in our lives tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. If you go ahead and have a seat tonight, just want to just look at four simple thoughts here on traits of a soul winner. I guess if I had to have a title, it'd be some traits of a soul winner. Many times I think that we're overwhelmed with the idea of going out knocking doors or handing out tracts or we're witness to other people. But tonight I'll start to look at four simple things. If you have pieces of paper, I encourage you to write these things down. Just a very simple outline. Number one, the first trait of a soul winner is he must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here in our text, we see in verse 37, when the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 40 says, and when they heard John speak, they even followed him. So we see here, I think it's important for each of us in our lives that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you would to turn over to John 4:29, we're going to see here. We're going to read this verse and we'll talk for a little bit. John 4:29 says this. John chapter 4, verse 29. Of course, this is here, the woman at the well. It says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then let's turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 20. Matthew, then Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 5, and verse 20. Mark chapter 5 and verse 20. We have here, I believe, the chapter 5, verse 20. "And he departed, began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus has done for him." You know, I think that it's important that we have a relationship with Christ. I encourage all of us this week, sit down and write out your testimony. Stop and think back. For some, it might be a year. For some, it might be 30, 40 years. But let's stop and think back to the time that you got saved. Probably one of the greatest tools that we can have in soul winning is being able just to share our testimony with folks. Let me share with you what God did in my life. We see in Mark 5, he published what God had done for him. We see there in John, the woman at the well, come see a man who told me all things I ever had done. They shared with others what Christ had done for them. I think it's important for us to stop. Would anybody tonight just want to stand and give us your testimony? by the time you got saved? It's good to rehearse it. Anyone just want to stand tonight? Yes, ma'am. Ms. Sullivan? Anyone else? Stan, tell us about the day you got saved. Yes, ma'am.
I was saved on June 28th, and I had two freshman sessions before that. One of them was school, and I was expecting an adolescent and an adolescent to start college, but I never saw myself as a bad person. I always saw myself as a Christian and never really understood that I need to make it my own and that I had done anything wrong.
Lord, I got saved here because I had a whole lot of years ago. I remember I was next door in the auditorium, and I'd known for a long time that I was lost. But I just didn't want to let other people know that I was lost. And one Thursday night, I've been a conviction for a long time, and I knew I was lost. I knew I was going to hell. But my pride would not let me go forward. And it was years ago when Tim Green preached a revival at Kazadale. I was probably 15 years old. And that night, invitation, I said, Lord, I know I'm lost. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going forward. that came forward. I met Brother Webb down front, and he says, Ricky said, just go over here and lead yourself to Christ, because I've been church, you know, here a long time. I know all the scriptures. But you know, but Sunday, I think it's good for us to stop and sit down and to write out or think about the day we get saved. You know, because you know, anytime Satan gets a temptation come in my mind, you know, I go back at that time, where I knew I was a sinner and I knew I was going to hell, and I just cried to save me. You know, it helps me give me the assurance of my salvation, but also it helps me be able to show other people how to get saved. So I think the first thing we need to make sure, you know, with a trade of soul is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, look down at verse 41, back over to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 41. John 1:41. Number one, there needs to be a relationship with Jesus Christ that we're able to share with others. And then number two, there needs to be some priorities in our life. Back to the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 41. John 1:41. He first findeth. We see here that Andrew had a burden for his brother. He made a priority. The first thing he did was he went and found his brother. I think the thing we need to see the present condition. Look over to Ephesians chapter 1. Book of Ephesians. Number one, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we can share, and that our priorities should be right. We need first to see the present condition. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, the first thing we need to see is that folks that are lost. But Alex, can come. You'll be my volunteer tonight. Yes, he'll be my volunteer. But Alex, tonight he's lost. Number one, I need to have a testimony that I can share with him. Number two, I need to see that he's lost. I think there's two things here. I need to see his present condition. He's lost. He's dead in trespasses and sins. There's nothing he can ever do to earn salvation. It doesn't matter how good a life he lives. It doesn't matter what he does. He's lost. And he's going to hell. We went to a high school graduation on Monday night, and there was just a lot of lost young people there. My wife left, and I'm almost in tears. Just look around and see how those kids lived their lives, and things they said, things their parents said, and you know, and the way they acted. A good portion of the graduating class came out with the things that hold babies. Not a car seat, but you know, a cradle, a little cradle. You know, it came out, and it was sad. And we looked around, and it was depressing. I said, honey, I said, but they're dead in trespasses and sins. They have no idea what's going on in their lives, how Satan has blinded their minds. Tonight, let's stop and think about our friends and loved ones that are lost. They're dead and their trespasses and sins. But let's think about their future as well. If Alex is my friend and he's lost, he's dead in his trespasses and sin, and he dies without Christ as his Savior, we see in Luke, like 15 or 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died in his sins. When he woke up, instantly in hell, he could see, he could hear, he could talk, he could feel, he could communicate in great misery. Our people around us tonight that are lost need to hear our testimony, what great things God has done in our lives. We also need to get a burden for the lost. When I stop and realize that our friends and loved ones and people that we talk to every day are dying and going to a place called hell, I should see their condition. I also should see how quickly this could happen. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." In Alex's life, if he's lost, every day he lives, he's a day closer to hell without Christ. And there's no guarantee that hell will wait 10 years for Alex. It might be that he would die tonight. It might be he would die next week, next month. And every day that I come across Alex, my friend, I don't share with him my testimony of what God has done in my life, and I don't talk to him about his salvation, I'm playing Russian roulette with his soul. Every day that I see him and I don't talk to him, I don't warn him of the condition that he's in, of the danger that he's in, I'm playing Russian roulette with his soul. In our lives, how many of us have somebody that we know tonight that is lost and going to hell? Probably all of us do. Every time that we take and we miss an opportunity to share with them the gospel, to say a few words of encouragement that would try to draw them closer to salvation, to sow and to water. Every time that we miss an opportunity, not only are they in danger, but we're in danger of as well of knowing that somebody died and went to hell on our watch. We should be able to tonight stop and think and begin to see the need in the world today. This world is getting bad quick. The answer is not in politics. The answer is in Jesus Christ. If we as churches had the burden that we say we do, every week we would hear stories of people that we talked to about Christ. We gave them a track. We invited them to church. We encouraged them in some way. God brought across their path. And as people get saved, every time down in Elmwood, it's amazing. In Elmwood, our corner used to be the hot spot, but now you know what? It ain't the hot spot no more. Because we go there. I was with Brother Havel, but he's talking. Our corner used to be a hot spot, and then we show up. It's like bugs going everywhere. You know why? Light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. In our lives, folks, let's number one, let's stop and reflect how great things God has done in our life. How God saved us from a place called hell. So secondly, let's make sure that we get our priorities in life straight. It's not our priority to be rich. It's not our priority to be famous. It's not our priority to leave a name for ourselves. It's our priority to find people, go first to people, and tell them what God's done in your life. The Monica of Gadara, he published what great things God has done. How long since we talked to a friend or a stranger, said, "Can I share with you what God did in my life 50 years ago? What God has done in my life? And man, he saved me 50 years ago, and he's worked in my life. I saw what he's done. I've seen this and this and that." And begin to share with others what God has done in our life. Every time that we pass by a friend that we know is going to hell, a stranger is going to hell, and we don't stop and take time to tell them about Christ, we're playing Russian roulette with their souls. Thank you, Brother Alex. So we see the first thing, it's important that we share our testimony with others about our salvation. The second thing, it's important that we have our priorities right. And then the next thing, look at 1 Corinthians 3:7. Not everyone we talk to will get saved. Not everyone that we talk to will get saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God gives the increase. The Lord wants to use us just to be a witness. I remember a while back when David sits on the back row. We've used him before for illustration. He got a burden for his sister in the hospital. David, you know the guy that grunts? The guy that can't talk? David went and talked to his sister. He led her to Christ. Why? I think that he might have, when they used to go to church long time ago, is that right, Pastor? He might have, you know, he reminded them of their salvation, of his salvation. He shared with her, and she got saved. He led her to Christ, but somewhere along the way, there's been churches or people that's come into her life, and they have planted the seed. And then along come David, and God blessed. Folks, in our lives, if I would just stop for a second, think tonight that God wants to use me as I. God wants to use me, and then on to the third thing is that I think we need to have a proper view of Christ. Turn back to John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 1 verse 41, the first part, we see the priority, then the last thing, we see a proper view of Christ. We have found the Messiah. I wanted to wonder tonight, how much do we know about Jesus Christ? In our lives, I think that sometimes that we hear so much, it goes in one ear and out the other ear. We hear about Christ, but do we really know him? We hear about Christ was born of a virgin, but do we really know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? Isaiah 7:14 tells us that he was. He's born of a virgin. You know, and we hear of his sinless life. We hear of his death. His burial, we hear of his resurrection and the power to save that he has. We hear those things, but have we got so used to it, they've lost their excitement? Have we got so used to hearing about the virgin birth, the sinless life, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ? And we were so much. Because we've been so blessed so many years to just sit in church and hear these things time and time again, we kind of take them for granted. I encourage you this week to sit down and write out your testimony and then sit down and stop and think about Jesus. Just stop for a second and think about Christ. When's the last time that we got excited over who he is, what he's done for us? With Ezra, here for long is going to get married. Come here, Ezra. Can I embarrass you? Ezra. He's chomping the bits to head that way, aren't you? Yeah, he's chomping the bits that way. There's excitement there. We'll get married. Yes. Right? Say this. Yeah. Okay, there you go. He's excited. You know, he's going to get married. You know what? Pray he never loses that excitement about his wife, his family, his wife. Because there's a lot of people that lose that excitement. They quit taking time for each other. And they leave all the marriage trouble. But that ain't the point. The point is today, just like many times people lose their excitement about their marriages and they quit investing in it, sometimes we Christians kind of get hard-hearted. We've heard the truth of Christ so much, so long, we've heard over and over and over again. And sometimes we just lose our zeal for Christ. The excitement when we first heard him, heard of him, and how he got, how he saved us and all that, you know, and then we're in church for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And preaching don't affect us like it used to, because our hearts have got hard. The lost don't affect us like it used to. Christ don't affect us like it used to. Because we're so conditioned now, we hear about the virgin birth. Amen. We hear about his death for us. Amen. Remember the first time you heard about salvation? Yes! He loves me! He died for me! He rose again the third day just for me because he loves me! And now, years later, we sit and, you know, we go to a church, you know, and we hear a sermon. Yeah. Remember when the church was full of new converts? Yes, preacher, amen. Yes, that's true. That's right. Yes. They was zeal. They was life. Thank you. But after a while, we become conditioned to it. And then we go out and talk to a lost person about Christ, and there's no burden, and there's no tears. There's no talking about how Christ, I mean, come here, lady. I love you. Come here. I love my wife. You know what? I love her. And I still, yes. Yes. You know why? Invested in our marriage. Time together. Trials, heartaches, yes, all those things. But we, you know, God blessed. And Elmwood, when I talk about her in Elmwood, people say, okay, preacher, we know you love your wife. You know, we've heard that story before. We've heard that before. How long is it since somebody said, I've heard about Christ before from you? Yes, I know that he loves you. Yes. How often do we speak of him? See, my love for her is still fresh. Yeah, still fresh. What? I hope I never lose that. But have we lost the freshness of our love for our Savior? Have we lost the excitement that it brings when we think of how that God the Son left heaven to come to earth, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross of Calvary, to resurrect the third day, to ascend back to heaven, and he'll come back again one day? Have we lost the zeal and excitement that brings? Have we forgot? Look at John 14:6. John 14:6. Have we forgot that he saves? John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Christ gives the way of salvation there. Then look over to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts 4:12. Acts chapter 4, remember verse 12. Neither is the salvation any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's salvation in Christ. Then look over to Hebrews 7:25. Look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says this: wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save them to the uttermost. It doesn't matter how good they are, he can save them. It doesn't matter how bad they are, he can save them. It doesn't matter how far they've gone into sin, this old wretched world, he can save them. Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter who we pray for, God can save them. I'm thankful. For a lot of years, we prayed for my dad to get saved. We prayed and we prayed for my dad to get saved. Many people from church would go by and talk to him. I've seen dad go, one time, I forget who came by the house, but he went out in the woods and stood in the rain for half an hour to avoid talking to people from church. One time he crawled under the bed. Sometimes he would just flat mean to people. You know what? He was hard-hearted. But one day, on the way in to work, he said, Rick, I was driving down the road. He said, I couldn't fight no more. He said, I decided right then I was going to get saved that day. I was going to commit suicide that night. He said, I couldn't go another day. I'd fought for many years. He came back home, called and made a church. He went over and showed him how to get saved. No matter how long we've been talking to them, praying for them, don't ever quit. He can save them to the uttermost. Don't ever think, God can never save so and so. God can. God can. God's only restriction is us. Thank God for those men that came by our house time after time after time talking to my dad. Thank God for a lady named Racine Height that dad couldn't say no to. Thank God for people that helped us out and sowed so many seeds for so many years. That one day when it all came to a point, dad's mind would have reflected all that. He told me later that he remembered how good the church had been to him. When I was in high school I had a really bad bike wreck. And I about died in high school. He remembered J.H. Willie coming by the hospital and sitting next to him. He said, listen, let us know if you need anything. We love you. We're here for you. He remembered things like that because people sowed seed time after time after time. Tonight, are we sowing seed? Are we sowing seed in the lives of other folks? Or have we just come complacent and think that things are too far gone? God can't save no more. God can't save so and so. I prayed for so long. I'm just tired of praying. God can. But God wants to use us. Lastly, let's not forget God's power. God's power to save. Let's not forget his promise. You know what? I know tonight, if I die, I'm going to heaven. Not because of anything other than this. When I was 15 years old, I walked forward and I asked Christ to save me. God's word says that it's a fact that in he in no wise cast out anyone that comes to him. I came to him that night, and the fact is I accepted Christ as my Savior. I turned to him. I accepted him as my Savior, and he saved me. No matter what storms of life I go through, my feelings might go up and my feelings go down, but because I know my testimony, because I wrote it out and I've shared it so much, I go back to that night when I knelt there and I led myself to Christ, because God promised if I'd ask him, he'd save me. And I'm thankful tonight that people in my young life had a burden for souls, had a burden for my dad. But now, what are we doing in the area of soul winning? How long since we handed out a gospel tract? I said, here, can I give you something to read later? How long since we invite somebody to church? Say, listen, would you come to church and hear the gospel? When's the last time that we shared our testimony with a family friend or a loved one? What great things God has done in our life. When's the last time God's used us to lead a soul to Christ? Unfortunately, in today's world, it's the abnorm for people to be a witness. The world can go out here and have a 3% of the population that can change all the laws. Because they're not afraid. They stand up. They talk. They share their belief, their lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. And they make changes. Christians, what we do sometimes, we sit in the corner. We sit in the pew. We put money in the offering plate. We give money to missionaries. And we forget that Matthew 28:19-20 is to us as well. Not just the missionaries, it's to us. That we would go and we would tell. Go and tell. This month, let's ask God to examine our hearts and show us our area of weaknesses and soul winning. It's not a plan. It's not having a plan or a program. It's when Rick Salee says, God, use me. And I ask God to prepare my heart. As I go, I simply share what great things God has done in my life. David didn't know 30 verses. David couldn't tell Sisera all kinds of the theological discourses and all these big things. All he could do is, But yeah, when a preacher showed up to show her how to get saved, she's already saved. Because somebody was willing to go. This month, it's not about us. It's all about him. It's about him wanting to use us to show other people the way of salvation. I'm glad today that my dad got saved. It took a lot of years, a lot of prayers, but it took God's people coming by, being his friend. Times indeed they'd show up. They brought groceries to our house. Our first Christmas I remember came for people at church. Just brought gifts to us. One time, we got to church and bought a whole house full of furniture. He took all his old furniture that was nice from anything we had. He said, Robert, is it okay if I just rent a truck and bring down you a bunch of nice furniture? Whole house full of furniture. They sowed seeds of love and compassion as they witnessed. And then one day when God really got hold of my dad's heart, everything that ever happened, Dad remembered on that ride from Sharonville to home. Every time somebody talked to him, they spoke to him about Christ, every track, it all came back. Because God's word will not return void. And it says in Jeremiah 23:20-29 that God's word is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. My dad's heart was hard. But God's able to save the uttermost. If you got somebody you're praying for, don't quit praying. Somebody you're witnessing to, don't quit witnessing to them. Somebody you have a burden for, let's not lose that burden. Let's continue to sow in tears that we might reap in joy. When's the last time that God just so broke our hearts that we couldn't help but weep over a lost soul? If it's been a long time, maybe our hearts have gotten hard. Maybe we need to ask God to help us have a burden, and then we need to go. This month, I'll challenge you, write out your testimony. Share your testimony with other people. Tell them what great things God has done in your life, and tell them that he can save them like he saved you. No matter how good they are, God can save them. No matter how bad they are, God can save them. But God wants to use us. Turn if you would over to Matthew chapter 28, and then I'll be done. Matthew 28:19-20. chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Tonight, I'm going to just conclude with the first part of that verse. Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore.